What's up, sports fans? Welcome back to another episode of Couchside Sports.
Ooh.
Today is January 19th. We have episode 25 today. As always, this is your host, Kyle French.
And Michael Burke calling in from Queens, New York.
Excellent. That's what we love to hear. And you guys know the deal. We give you our perspectives on sports from the comforts of our couches.
As it should be.
And today, like I mentioned, is episode 25, so we will be doing our greatest athletes who wore number 25. And then, of course, we will have to dive into the NFL divisional round. It was certainly an exciting one. We'll get into a little NBA All-Star talk, a little breaking news isn't news, and as always, our NFL picks. So where should we start? Should we start with the 25, number 25s?
Oh, yeah, we should start with the number 25. I'm going to come out hot. For NBA fans, I think you know where I'm going with this one.
I feel
Vince Sanity. Vince
Oh,
Carter.
No.
What?
I didn't see that coming. Continue. I like where this is going.
Oh, yeah. So, Vince Carter, absolute beast. He could dunk anywhere. It was wild. Like, he could fucking take off from the three-point line if he really wanted to. This dude has incredible hops, had a great career, still playing, doing his thing, even though he's old, still in shape, physical specimen. But Vin Sanity gets the first shout-out from me.
Okay, Vin Sanity. I thought you said Lin Sanity, and I was losing my mind over here, so I apologize for that. But Vince Carter.
Good. I mean, Lin Sanity did come out hot. He fizzled off, but he came out real hot.
Yeah, I thought you were coming out like scorching hot, but so I was shocked. But yeah, Vince Carter, where did he rock that 25? He win a ring with it?
Yeah, so he rocked 25 in 2011 with the Phoenix Suns, and also when he was with the Mavs from 2012 to 2014. Other than that, he's worn 15 like with the Raptors and stuff. But yeah,
gotcha.
Won the ring with Dallas, so
nice.
He gets a shout
nice.
Out.
I'm gonna throw another NBAer in the mix here. Underrated L.A. Laker, Gail Goodrich.
Ooh.
I think we actually talked about his team at one point when we were talking about the longest regular season win streak because the team he played for, the 71-72 Lakers, had that record with 33 straight wins. He was part of a championship team in L.A. His best season, averaged 26 a game, averaged 19 for his career. And a quick fun fact. He's actually third all-time in scoring for players who shoot left-handed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a good stat of the week.
Yeah, yeah, there we go, stat of the week. Gail Goodrich, third all-time. We also got a pretty big baseball player, I believe, we need to mention, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You want to break that down?
I'll break it down. Because I have a few baseball players on the list, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah, run those through for me.
All right, so the first one that came to mind when I saw 25 was Mark McGwire. Man, that's with Savage. 73 home runs in 1 year. Probably 73 injections of steroids that same year as well.
True.
Also, another guy, big steroid guy, Barry Bonds, wore 25 for a little while. I saw Carlos Delgado. That guy was a beast, absolute beast. He wore 25. Jim Thome. Andrew Jones as well. There's a lot of baseball players that wore 25 that are pretty great.
A lot of power hitters.
Yeah, a lot of power guys.
That's a cleanup number right there, it smells like.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm actually going to continue the, I don't want to say tainted career or cheater list here, but I have NFL wide receiver Fred Biletnikoff. He's actually a stand-up guy. They have the college award named after him. The greatest receiver in the college football. I can't remember what they call it. BCS, FCS. They change around every year, so I don't know what it is anymore. But they give the best receiver the Fred Biletnikoff Award. But the reason why I bring him up as a tainted cheater is he actually introduced Stick'em to the NFL. First guy to throw it on his gloves. He said he would cover his whole jersey, like his body, everything, in Stick'em before he played. so he was kind of a savage. It ended up getting outlawed, so it's against the rules now. So I don't know if he was an innovator or a cheater. He's a great man, innovator. Great player, though.
Innovator. If you're doing it before it gets outlawed, you're an innovator. Because they made that rule because of it.
Exactly. I agree with that. We're on the same page.
Yeah. I got one more that I want to throw out there, keeping it in the NBA. I'm going to show some respect for Doc Rivers.
Oh, okay.
War 25. Not as much respect for his son, especially nowadays, but definitely Doc, number 25. Great coach, great point guard. Respect so much for him, just not for Austin.
Yeah, and Doc, another stat of the week, maybe the best point guard who couldn't shoot to save his life.
Yeah,
the man had no jumper, but he played like 12 years in the league, so good for him. All right, I think that's all we got for number 25s. I'll throw one more in. Robert Ori.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he didn't wear it on the Lakers teams where they won 3 rings, but he did help the Rockets and Spurs win championships. They call him Big Shot Bob, knocking down clutch jumpers. It's actually crazy how many like huge shots he hit in playoff games, like with the buzzer going off. He wasn't like an amazing player overall, but just as clutch as it gets in 7 rings, pretty great career. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, so we'll move on now. We got to get to the big talking points here, the NFL playoffs. Pretty solid weekend. Should we start with the big game?
100% start with the big game.
All right, so the craziest game of the week, Vikings-Saints. Walk me through what I saw on the last play of that game because I still don't know.
All right, so I'll walk you through the drive before too.
All right.
So I'm watching. I actually went to the NFL Experience with a couple of my friends and my girlfriend. We went. We went to the Experience, had a good time, and then we watched the game after.
Nice.
We're watching. Get to the point where, you know, Drew Brees comes out, game-winning drive. I'm like, this is Vince's Drew Brees. He's going to carry him. They're going to the NFC Championship. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. You know, they come out. They kick the field goal. They have the lead. You know, and I'm thinking, all right, Saints got it.
Yeah.
Case Keenum comes out with these Vikings, and just, like, it's so hard to explain. Like, Case Keenum has just been defying odds, balling out all year.
Yep.
Man's working his way to a household name, but this dude throws up a pass. He put it in the perfect spot, too, because if Stephon Diggs didn't have to jump like that for it, then the safety, Williams, for the Saints would never have whiffed on the tackle. Like, if he was on the ground, he'd have gotten rocked. So he jumps up, catches the ball, and then Williams, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was going for a big hit. I have no idea. Maybe he didn't want to get a pass interference, so he's trying to avoid him.
Yep.
But he totally whiffs on a tackle, takes out the corner, so they can't even chase him down, and Diggs runs down the field 60 yards and crosses the end zone with 0 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, and that I love that you brought up that he took out the cornerback as well. I feel like a lot of people didn't realize that. He whiffed on the tackle, and in doing so, he almost took out the ACL of his cornerback. And so he couldn't even make the tackle either. So
exactly.
That's an underrated part of the play. And like you said, I don't know if he was trying to avoid a pass interference call or maybe he was trying to be a hero and tackle him inbounds, because another thing people were overlooking is if Diggs catches that ball and gets out of bounds, the Vikings have like a 45-yard field goal to win the game anyway. So even if he makes the tackle, if it's not inbounds, Vikings still likely win that game. So maybe it was a hero effort. Maybe he was pulling up because he didn't want to get the pass interference. Either way, really tough break, but he is a rookie, so you know I'll kind of let him off the hook.
Yeah, and he had a great pick in the third quarter on a similar play.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, so the angle that he was taking to the ball, too, if he had made contact with Diggs, I feel like he would have carried him out of bounds, which, okay, so if he catches it and his feet don't land and carries him out of bounds, it's incomplete. But also, why wouldn't you just, like, wait for him to come down, catch him, and just fall towards the inbound side?
It's a lot happening in one play. He's coming from the middle of the field, so
yeah,
it was hard to yeah. I mean, I agree. There's a lot of options he had on the table.
That's clock awareness and knowing and realizing that hey, this guy's up in the air. I'm coming into him. If I just grab him, wait, and then try to fall in bounds, They've got 6 seconds to get the ball, like Spike. They can't do that.
Yeah, yep. I agree, but, you know, no experience for him. That he's a rookie, so I guess it happens. But, yeah, like
you
said.
Yep. One more thing. Did you see Alvin Kamara absolutely roast that SoundCloud rapper on Twitter?
No, I did not. Put me on.
So this guy, I don't know. I guess he's not very popular, but he's like an up-and-coming artist, trying to be at least.
Uh-huh.
He tweeted at Alvin Kamara. He was like, imagine laughing on the sidelines, eating Airheads, and then boom, Stephon Diggs breaks off a 60-yard touchdown, and you lose the game. So then Alvin Kamara tweeted back at him and was like, imagine your SoundCloud link being in your profile for 7 years, and boom, no one clicks on it.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Was Kamara actually eating Airheads on the sideline? I didn't see that.
He was. He wasn't. I don't know. I didn't see him eating them, but I did see him like handing them out to his teammates. He's done that before.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think maybe he's trying to be like a little knockoff, like Marshawn, because he has a skill, so he wants to do the Airheads. But
yeah, you can't jack Marshawn's style.
Marshawn's one of a kind. You know.
Yep. And that was, you know, to conclude that Vikings game, best playoff game we've seen, especially since the Saints were down 17-0 at halftime, couldn't move the rock. And then they come back, make it close, and somehow Case Keenum, as he's done 100 times this year, found a way and looked good doing it. So I can't explain it. And then we'll jump over to probably the next biggest game, Jaguars-Steelers. Jaguars come out on top in a shootout. No one would have predicted this. If you thought the Jaguars were going to win this game, you're probably predicting like a 20-17 game, not 45-42. But that's what Jacksonville did to win. And I don't know, the whole time watching this game, tell me if I'm wrong, but it just felt like the Steelers were always going to find their way back. Even when they looked like they were blown out of the water, it's 28-7. I always felt like they had a chance until they scored that final touchdown and the clocks were at zero and they're just standing there in the end zones, like with their hands in their pants, not knowing what to do.
Yeah. I mean, even when it's 28-7 and you're still in the first half, you don't panic, you know, you have plenty of time to score 3 touchdowns. But at the end of the day, you did predict this win for the Jaguars. I couldn't go against the Steelers just because of Heinz Field. I did have a feeling that the Steelers were overlooking the Jags a little bit.
Definitely.
Which they totally were, and you cannot do that against a defense like the Jaguars have. You know, they have the perfect mixture of raw talent, physicality.
Pass rushers.
They know what they're doing out there. They look good.
Defensive
backs. Yeah. And the crazy thing is like, they don't blitz that much, but they still like pressure the quarterback on like 33% of snaps, which is crazy.
Yeah, their front four is unreal.
Calais Campbell is an absolute monster.
Yeah, their free agent signings are so underrated. I mean, Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, those are two, like, really good play. I mean, they got Barry Church as well, I believe. So, I mean, three guys who are high-end defensive players, and somehow Jacksonville lands them, and they've sucked for years. So, whatever their front office did to entice those guys, incredible job.
Oh, yeah.
And then we saw Leonard Fournette run all over people. I mean, the Steelers defense, you got to feel for them not having Ryan Shazier, who obviously took that brutal hit. And who knows if he'll play again. They still don't know if he's going to be, you know, like a fully functioning human to a degree. Like, he's going to be in a wheelchair for a long time. So that had to be really tough for them because he's their defensive leader and their anchor. But you just can't get run over like that.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, you know, when you're facing the Jags, that should be your main goal on defense should be to stop Leonard Fournette. Because Blake Bortles is not the type of quarterback that's going to come out and beat you with his arm. So, you know, your defensive scheme should be stack the box, stop Leonard Fournette, let Blake Bortles, you know, throw the ball. He's going to make mistakes. But I don't know. The Steelers, their defense looked awful.
Yeah, and they did obviously suffer from the fact that Jacksonville had a scoop and score, fumble 6, and they also got an interception you know, at like the 30-yard line. So Bortles didn't have to do, like, you know, that much there. But, yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback do less in a game where his team scores 45.
I know.
So, I don't know. Who knows if that recipe will work up in New England. We'll get to that in a second. But in the meantime, we may as well talk about the Patriots-Titans game. Titans score first. It's 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. Were you at all nervous?
No. Okay. And I wouldn't have been nervous if they had scored again. The Titans, that like I said, was lock of the century.
It really was.
Their secondary is so weak. And you know what I liked from this matchup is the fact that the game plan for the Pats defense in that game was pretty similar to what they're going to do against the Jags. And that's stop the run, because Derrick Henry and Leonard Fournette are very similar, big power backs, but they also have speed. So they're going to be doing pretty much the exact same thing on defense. They did it great against Tennessee, so I'm excited to see what they're going to do against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. And the craziest thing is, if I told you before the season started, all the Patriots have to do to get to the Super Bowl is beat the Titans and the Jaguars at home, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's a cakewalk. Anyone knows that's going to happen. So, obviously, the Jaguars, we don't want to overlook them because the Steelers did the same thing. But, I mean, the evidence is right there. They just crushed the Titans. There's no answer. I mean, Josh McDaniels had the whole offensive playbook open, and I don't think he could have called a bad play. He could have closed his eyes and pointed at one, and they were going to go out there and execute it. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, from the end of the first quarter to, like, the middle of the fourth, It was the most lopsided playoff game I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was crazy. But we'll move on from that game, because that was kind of boring. I mean, 35-14 in a domination. The other big game was the Eagles and the Falcons. This was kind of another boring game. It was low scoring, but it got exciting toward the end. Did you have faith that the Falcons would be able to pull it out on that last drive?
I thought they were going to. I thought Matty Ice would come out. I thought he had ice in his veins. When he threw that ball up to Julio Jones, you know, I really thought Julio was going to come down with that. That hit his hands. I mean, it's a tough catch. He wasn't going to land inbounds anyway. But I was surprised that the Falcons came up short. Nick Foles played a good game. That Eagles defense is real. Fletcher Cox is a problem.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see what happens with these Eagles when they play Minnesota.
Yeah, and on that last drive, I wasn't feeling good about the Falcons the whole game because nothing was working for them, pretty much except for Julio Jones. And I'll give the Eagles a lot of credit for that, but they could not touch Julio Jones. So when they got down inside the 10-yard line, I was like, every play is going to go through Julio, and they're going to score. Like, you can't give this guy that many opportunities. And so somehow they stopped him. They held him short on that third down, and that fourth down pass, he couldn't quite haul in. That was just kind of a mess of a play. So I was surprised the Falcons couldn't pull it off. And the one thing that I keep going back to is at the end of the first half, Nick Foles sails that pass, and instead of the Falcons intercepting it and maybe getting a field goal of their own, it goes off the safety's knee, bounces back to Torrey Smith, and he runs it into field goal range. So, I mean, you got to think if he intercepted that ball, or even if he just knocked it to the ground, then maybe all the Falcons need in that situation is a field goal to win. So it's crazy looking back on that play. But
yeah, that was crazy. I've never seen anything like that before. I don't know why. The dude just totally misjudged it. Like, I don't know why when he's jumping for that ball, why are you sticking your knee up there?
Like, yeah. I've never seen that happen. Like, he literally had his knee in front of his hands. I don't know how you do that, but I don't have the answers. I'm not a professional athlete, so I'm not going to shame him for it. But there are definitely a lot of defensive back baffles in the NFC games. And Foles, like you said, he looked good. He was competent. I will point out, though, he threw zero touchdowns, and he probably should have thrown two picks. So the one we just mentioned, obviously. And then the first play of the game, I don't know if you remember this, they tried a deep ball, and he threw it so poorly that it came up at least 15 yards short, 20 yards short of where it should have been, and it was so underthrown that he actually got a defensive pass interference call. But if there was anybody playing in the middle of the field, that would have been a pick too. So
yeah, I mean, Nick Foles, he looked shaky when he first came out. I mean, what can you expect from a guy who's just started and now he's in a playoff game?
Yeah.
When he was starting for the Eagles a few years ago, he was playing well. So, you know, he did what he had to do. He came out in the second half and looked a lot sharper. So I'm hoping that carries over. I'm hoping that he's settled down a little bit, because I want to see a good game against the Vikings.
Yeah, and it'll definitely help that, you know, they're at home.
Yeah.
So they did end up beating the Falcons last weekend 15-10. And those are the four games in the divisional round. So we usually do our NFL picks at the end, but I think we're just going to get to them now since we're on the subject. You want to start in the NFC or AFC?
Let's start in the NFC.
All right, so you were just talking about them. The Eagles are taking on the Vikings at home. It sounded like you're riding with Nick Foles. Is that the case?
I'm not riding with Nick Foles.
Oh, okay.
I really want the Eagles to win because I feel like that would be so much easier for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But this Vikings team, they look like the real deal. Their defense, top in the league. Xavier Rhodes is a problem. Case Keenum's been playing really well. They got a good situation in the backfield. Latavius Murray's a good closer once you get down into the red zone. McKinnon's pretty solid with a pass game and stuff like that. Adam Thielen's been fantastic. Stephon Diggs is healthy. He's out there. So I really got to ride with the Vikings. I really think that it's a good year for them. I don't know if Case is going to be in Minnesota again next year, but I really think that the Vikings are going to carry this over, and I think they're going to be the first team ever to have legit home field advantage in the Super Bowl.
Yep, I got to agree. And that's where I was leaning last week. I was saying I'm riding with the Vikings all the way to the ship because I think they can do it, and I want to see them be the first team not only to play a home game in the Super Bowl, but also to lose at home in the Super Bowl. That'll be really cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'll pick them over the Eagles. I mean, you're riding high after that crazy finish and a walk-off touchdown. And a lot of people have been saying, like, it's just, at this point, a team of destiny. And who am I to disagree? I mean, somehow everything fell into place. They lost their starting quarterback. They lost their second-string quarterback and never missed a beat. So I don't know, you know, why an Eagles team without, you know, their starting quarterback would stop them now. So yeah. I will give the Eagles a chance since obviously they're at home. They have a great defense and a lot of good skill players. But I'll take Case Keenum over Nick Foles, you know, right now. And I'll take the Vikings defense over the Eagles defense. And those are going to be the most important factors to the game. So I'll ride with the Vikings too.
What are you saying score-wise? What do you think it's going to be? Do you think it's going to be high-scoring or low-scoring? And then give me a guess.
If I had to give you a number, I think it's going to be more low-scoring, closer to what we saw in the Eagles-Falcons game. I'll go 24-18 Vikings.
Ooh, I was thinking around the same thing. I was going to say 24-21 Vikings.
Okay. So we're a field goal off.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that high scoring, so I'm comfortable with that score. And then on the other side of things, we got the Patriots and the Jaguars. Obviously, we both are going to pick the Patriots here, but I'm going to break down why I believe that, you know, objectively they're going to win this game.
Yeah.
So we just saw last week, obviously the Saints and the Steelers, two incredible offenses, go against two really good defenses, the top two in the league, in the Vikings and the Jaguars. And they were both stuffed and shut down in the first half, but they made the right adjustments, and they came back as great offenses do and dominated the second half. So the Saints scored 24 in the second half, and the Steelers scored 28.
Wow.
And with the Patriots, I just don't think they're going to have that first half blip where they can't put up points. I think their coaching staff's better. I think their quarterback is better. Offensive coordinator is better. And so I don't think they're going to struggle in the first half like the Saints and the Steelers did. They're going to watch the tape. They're going to figure it out. And they're going to be hot right out the gates. And they're not going to, you know, stumble like those other two teams did. So that's the main reason I'm picking New England.
Yeah. A couple of reasons why I'm picking the Pats is because one thing that you can say as much as you want about how good the Jags defense is, the problem is they do give up points. And if you give up 42 points to the Patriots in the playoffs, you're not going to win. I really feel like, you know, that Jags defense, they do come up big. They're a good scoring defense. They capitalize on the turnovers from Big Ben, but I don't think that Brady is going to make the same mistakes. He's a little bit better at keeping the ball secure. He doesn't really fumble that much. So I really think, you know, they give up points. I think I got a hot take for you. I got a bold prediction.
Ooh, hit me.
I think that James Harrison is going to come up with a big stop or a big sack in this game at a key moment, and all the Steelers fans are going to be so tight because he left. But I really think James Harrison is going to go out there and be a savage.
All right, I'll be looking for him out there. I'll keep that in mind. That hot take.
Yeah.
If I see, you know, fourth down or fourth quarter and the Patriots are up only 14 and they need a stop, I'll be looking for James.
All right. He's going to be out there.
And real quick, what do you think about Brady's hand, that situation? Supposedly questionable
to play. I think it's a non-issue. I agree with Stephen A. Smith on this, which I don't really agree with him a lot, but
it's
think it's more, it's Belichick trying to mess with the Jaguars. I think, if anything, Brady probably said, like, oh, coach, I'm going to have a hangnail. And Belichick was like, all right, we'll put you on the injury list. Like, take a few days off.
That's the Patriot way.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll lock them in. We're both taking the Vikings and the Patriots to make it to Super Bowl. Is it 51 now? 51? 52?
52.
Super Bowl 52. Yeah. 2 weeks from now in Minnesota. So we'll get
One more thing. I saw this on Bleacher Report, but apparently someone in a Google search Googled it, and it said on Google that the participating teams in Super Bowl 52 were the Patriots and the Vikings. So they know something that we don't know, or somebody just messed up. I don't know, but I think that might be a sign.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's like Wikipedia where you can just edit it. But I don't think you can do that with Google.
No.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there. So that's where we stand with the NFL. And now we're going to transition over to Couchside's favorite segment, breaking news that isn't news.
Ooh.
And I'll kick it off because I got a juicy one. Been in the news.
All right.
A lot of people talking about it. And this is the fact that the Rockets and Clippers have beef and tried to fight after the game in the Staples Center. A lot of people were surprised, like, oh, CP3, like, he's coming home, like, they're going to welcome him back, it's going to be a good game, you know, good to see him back in LA, they'll make up, it'll be cool. Nah, like, it was never going to be like that, and I don't know why anyone thought it was. And the reason I think people perceived it that way is because they were looking at it like, oh, Chris Paul is coming back to LA, he's coming back to play his former team. And what they forget is there's five guys on the Clippers who just played for the Rockets last year. And imagine being that group of guys, and the coach comes to you and he's like, hey, there's seven of them at the time, four of them now play for the Clippers. All right, all you seven guys, you guys are going to go play for the Clippers next year, and in return we're only getting one player. So imagine like how disrespected those guys must have felt. And now they're all on the Clippers playing big minutes against the team who just shipped them all away for one man. And so it was obviously tensions were going to be high, and the guys were really animated, and the Clippers weren't really expected to win this game. I know the Rockets didn't have James Harden, but it's still a big deal for them to win, and they've now have leaped into that eighth seed. So it's obviously going to be really tense. And so I'm not going to say I predicted that they were going to try to break down the Clippers, you know, door to their locker room and fight people. But did I think there was going to be some issues and some hot tempers? Absolutely. So this is not news to me.
Yeah, and like, CP3 absolutely hates Austin Rivers. It stems back to when the Clippers had a chance to trade Austin for Carmelo Anthony. Obviously not straight up, there's going to be other pieces, but I remember Doc Rivers didn't want to do that because he didn't want to trade his son. And CP3 was like, well, man, that's bullshit. Like, if we're not trying to compete with the Warriors, then what are we doing? So he absolutely despises Austin Rivers. Known that for a while. A lot of guys don't like Austin Rivers. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not, like, in the locker room. I don't know what he is.
Yeah,
what he
I like
plays
him.
Like as a guy. But, Yeah, I mean, Gerald Green just, like, signed with Houston, and he was there ready to fight. That just shows you that he's locked in, being loyal to Houston. So I like that.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. So that's my breaking news isn't news. You want to drop yours on us?
Sure, sure. My breaking news isn't news is we're going to talk about the NBA All-Star. Obviously, the top two vote-getters get to pick the starters this year. And literally everyone and their mother could have seen this coming, but LeBron James went to East. Almost lost it to Giannis, but he ended up winning. And then Steph Curry won the West. Anybody could have told you that. They're the two most popular players in the league. So, you know, they get to pick the starters. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to see if LeBron picks Kyrie. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with that. Maybe, like, yeah, he picks Kyrie and then tries to squash the rumors that they hate each other. But we'll see what happens. But, you know, breaking news is the news. LeBron and Steph are the two most popular players in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that. You walk up to a stranger on the street, they know who those two guys are over anyone else. And when the votes first came out, when their first release, not the final, but like the first preliminary voting were counted, it was like you mentioned, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Bucks and Kevin Durant of the Warriors who were leading. But even then, people knew, like you said, it's breaking news, it isn't news. Because, like, oh, well, I mean, obviously LeBron and Steph are going to end up winning. And that's what happened, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you mentioned, they'll get to pick the starters. I am interested to see if he takes Kyrie. And we'll never know. Maybe Kyrie gets left for him, you know, as, like, the last pick or something. But that's what'll be cool about this draft. And, by the way, are you as upset as me about the fact that it's not televised?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. If LeBron James' decision was televised, then they should make this a little bit more like...
That's facts. That's facts. Yeah, they're saying it's like too tough of decisions, and they don't want to hurt people's feelings and like have conflicting interests with like drafting teammates and stuff. It's like, come
That's
on.
Dumb. I first of all, we all know Steph is going to take KD because LeBron gets first pick, and we know he's not going to take KD. So like, we know that Steph's going to get KD.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we can kind of figure out the first pick off the board, you would think. If Kevin Durant ends up on LeBron's team, you got to think he chose him first. But So instead of trying to guess in all these hypotheticals, we figured here on Couchside, we would just play the roles of LeBron and Steph Curry and draft some teams. Is that cool with you?
Oh, yeah. That's cool with me. You're the point guard. You can be Steph. I'm the forward. I'll be LeBron. Let's break this down.
All right, so the way it works is we'll draft from the starters first. And the East starters, let me pull it up here. They had Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, and Joel Embiid voted in by the fans and the media and the players. And a long process I don't want to explain. And then in the West, the four starters are Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and James Harden. But the rules here, as you know, are different. We'll draft them regardless of conference. And you're going to be LeBron and I'll be Steph. So you get first pick.
Yeah. So first pick, I think LeBron's going to be strategic. I also think I'm going to throw out a conspiracy right now.
Okay.
So I have a feeling that if LeBron James loses in the finals this year with Cleveland, which he very well might, that he is going to leave Cleveland. He's starting to get older. I think he wants to maximize his winning potential. I think that he said he's always wanted to play with CP3. CP3 seems to really like it in Houston right now.
Okay.
So I could see LeBron James moving to Houston, and I think he'd want to pick up his buddy, James Harden, playing in Houston now to see what it's like to play with him on the same court. So I think me, as LeBron James, I'm going James Harden first.
All right. That's interesting. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm playing the role of Steph Curry, and my man Kevin Durant is still on the board, and he's debatably probably the second best player in the NBA, so I'm going to snatch him.
Okay.
Back to you.
So I'm going to mark that. KD's gone. Okay. So at this point in the draft, I have two options. I'm not going to take Kyrie right now because I feel like he'll be there later since Steph Curry plays the role of point guard. So the two people I would be thinking about is Giannis Antetokounmpo and Anthony Davis. This one is a tough one. I would like to go Anthony Davis, but I think LeBron James is going to go. He's going to show some loyalty to the Eastern Conference. I think he's going to take Giannis Antetokounmpo.
All right, you're making my job easy. I'm just taking best player available, and you just named who that man was. Anthony Davis, he scored the All-Star Game record. What did he put up, like 50-something points last year, 52 points? Wild. So I'll grab him. I got Steph, KD, and AD. We holding it down out here.
Okay. All right. I got James Harden, LeBron, and Antetokounmpo. So we got some scoring and bigs. So after that, so you took AD. So right now I'm choosing between. I've got Kyrie, DeMar's there, Joel Embiid is there, DeMarcus Cousins. I think that LeBron James wants to have some fun. I think the person to do that with him is my guy, Joel Embiid.
Very true, very true. All right, so you're taking Joel. I think Steph, so we got Durant, Davis locked in. It'd be easy to take DeMarcus, but I don't think that team needs another big right now. We already have a ball handler. So I'm going to snatch DeMar DeRozan having a career year on the Raptors, and he can play the two spot.
All right. I like that. So then that leaves me with the man that we just talked about, Kyrie Irving, going to be my point guard, going to squash the beef. People could say that he waited to pick him, but he still picks him. Kyrie Irving is going to be on the Eastern Conference starters.
All right, and that leaves me with DeMarcus Cousins. So we essentially ended up with four players on the West on Team Steph and four players on the East for LeBron. So we really just traded, who did we trade? James Harden for DeMar DeRozan.
Yep, pretty much.
So we'll see if that's how it shakes down. And then I think we're just going to continue and we'll draft the reserves as well here.
Okay.
So
so you want to go over the rules real quick about what we have to do here?
Yeah, sure. So basically, seven players from the East and seven players from the West will be picked. And amongst those teams, there will be two wings, three forwards, and two wild card positions. And then those players will be cast into a pool, which then we'll draft from. So essentially, we'll do two steps in one here, but I think we'll be able to figure it out. And you can pick regardless of conference as long as the total reserves are 7-7. And so, LeBron, you still have the first pick, so I'll let you get after it.
All right, so right now I'm torn between two picks. I want another guard, and I'm looking at the West, and I'm looking at Russell Westbrook or Jimmy Buckets. And
okay.
You know what? Actually, this is kind of easy because Jimmy scorned us earlier with not doing our interview. So you know what? I'm going Westbrook. We're going Westbrook.
Yeah, you got it. He's the best player left there, without question, former MVP.
Yeah, and then I can sit Kyrie whenever I get tired of him.
Yeah, exactly. okay, back to me. I got a lot of choices to make. This might surprise people. I'm going to take a man who just has to make the All-Star game, the unicorn, Kristaps Porzingis. He's been putting together a season for the Knicks, and I would love to see him in an All-Star game, so I'll take him.
Nice, I like it. So then next, obviously LeBron doesn't pick this, so you know it's not like he's the one showing like love to his teammate Kevin Love.
Yep. I see what you did there.
But I'm gonna have to go ahead and take Kevin Love. I mean, he gets a lot of like shit because you know he's not the greatest on defensive stuff, but he's having a great year. Man, rebounds, can score. He's gonna be an All-Star. So.
Yeah,
I'm just going to take Kevin Love off the board real quick.
All right, go ahead and do that. I don't know if I want to stick with too many bigs here, but I'll continue the theme. I am going to go ahead and grab Karl-Anthony Towns.
Ooh.
I think he's the best player on the Wolves, and I think he might be the most skilled guy left. I don't know if he's the most interesting All-Star play, but he's kind of like Anthony Davis. So I'll grab him.
Okay. So if you take Cat, then this is an easy decision for me. I'm going to keep it with the Timberwolves. I'm going to go to what I was talking about before. I'm going to go with Jimmy Bucket.
All right, Jimmy. Heading off the board. This is getting tough. I probably need another ball handler. And Kyle Lowry, he's looking at me. He's looking at me up in Toronto there. But I got to keep it in the West. I know we're drafting a lot of West guys early. But Damian Lillard 100% deserves to be there. He's got the Trailblazers in a pretty good spot right now. He's averaging 25 a game. He gets snubbed every year. I'm going to make sure he's there. I'm grabbing Dame.
All right. I like it. So now, me, I'm looking at my team right now. I've got a plethora of guards. So I'm going to go big. And there's two guys I'm torn between. One of them is my guy, LaMarcus Aldridge, over there with San Antonio.
True.
The other one is my big guy, big Al Horford. I feel like he should be an all-star.
Definitely.
Dude does everything on the court. It's tough. But you know what? LaMarcus Aldridge is having a great year. Kawhi's out indefinitely again. We're going to roll with my guy, LaMarcus Aldridge.
All right. Well, I'll give you a chance to get Al next round if you want him, because I'm going back and dipping into the guard pool here. And I'm going to grab Bradley Beal. I think he should definitely make his first All-Star appearance. He's averaging 23 a game out there in Washington. Looks like a better player than John Wall. Wizards are the fifth seed. I think this is his year, so I'll take Bradley Beal.
Okay. I'm gonna hold off on Al Horford for one more round, and I'm looking at a guy that I figured he was going to do great things this year, so I ended up drafting him in our fantasy league. The dude did not play well on his last team because he was out of position. Any idea of who you think I'm going with?
Are you going with Vic?
I'm going Vic, man. I'm going Victor Oladipo.
Great pick.
The guy has been balling out. You know, last year in OKC, they asked him to be that kind of like shooting guard that spread the floor, spot-up shooter. And that's not really who he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's more of the Westbrook type where, you know, you get the ball, head down, go to the rim, draw some contact, stuff like that, create for other people with your drive. And Oladipo's been having a great year in Indiana. So we're rolling with Vic.
All right, I like that. And I don't know if Steph would make this pick, but I'm going to make it because I think it's the right decision. Chris Paul hasn't played a whole lot of games, but he's played enough. He's played enough for me to be on this All-Star team. His numbers are good enough, and with James Harden out of the roster, he's still led the Rockets fairly well, and I think he's just one of the better point guards in the league. He's got to be there. The Rockets are the second seed in the West. I'll take Chris Paul.
We have our first dispute.
All right.
Because I do not have CP3 making an All-Star team.
All right. Well, we'll have to settle that
after.
We'll
get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that later. So now I'm going to be faithful to my guy, Celtics fan. I need another big. We're going out, Horford.
Very fair, very fair. This makes it easy for me. I got to take Kyle Lowry. I'm getting a little guard heavy here. Yeah. He'll be my third ball handler. But that's fine. I think he has to make it. The Raptors they're the second seed right now in the East. And Lowry is having a down year, but he's still putting in like 16, 17 points per game, 7 assists, 6, 7 rebounds. Solid numbers, and if your team's winning, you got to make it. I'll take Kyle Lowry.
All right, I like that pick. So now we're at my last pick right here. And there's one guy that I think is actually very deserving. I'm going big man because I do have a lot of guards already. And this guy has put in some work. He's averaging 14 points a game, 15 boards, and has pretty much doubled his free throw percentage. So I think you know who I'm going with.
Yep.
I think Andre Drummond deserves it. Dude's shooting, you know, you shouldn't be happy about a guy shooting 62% from the line, but when he's like a career 30-point shooter,
yeah,
you got to give him this. You got to give him his props. And I saw one of the things that he really that he said is helping him now with his free throws is he takes a deep breath before he shoots.
Wow. Sage
that's,
wisdom.
That's his process. He's like, that's my moment of, you know, just like meditation, and I shoot. So I'm going on to Drummond. I think he deserves it. Yeah, I think he doesn't get enough credit. I think he's one of the better centers in the league, especially in the Eastern Conference. So we'll go on Drummond.
All right, I can't lie with you there. I mean, he's got his numbers are up, free throw percentage up. He is one of the better centers. I wouldn't have him making my All-Star roster. We can talk about that after. And I'll close
so this
out.
This means you need someone from the West.
It does, yes. I'm going to take a guy from the West here. I'm going to switch up the game plan, and I'll grab Klay Thompson. I guess the Warriors have to have three. I hate it. I really do. But I'll throw him in there.
Okay. Yeah, that's who I would say you should have to take.
Yeah, it hurts me putting a lot of Warriors in there, but he deserves it. You know, you have to put him in there. The Warriors are the one seed, best record in the league, so not much you can do. So that completes our rosters there. You said you had one dispute. You did not have Chris Paul making the All-Star team. You want to break down who you had instead and why?
So we pretty much agreed on a lot of them. The only one that I really disagreed with was CP3. He has missed a lot of time because he's hurt. I mean, he is a huge factor in that Rockets team. Their record with him is incredible. But I had Draymond Green instead. Just because, I mean, I hate Draymond Green so much.
I know, he sucks.
Yeah, it pained me to put him so much, but also I feel like, you know, because it comes down to coaches and stuff like that too, and I feel like, you know, coaches are people that really, really appreciate guys that do things that aren't on the stat sheet, and I know that Draymond's only averaging like 11, 7, 7, but he does so many things that don't go on the stat sheet. He's great at defense. He moves the ball. He can go out any night and get a triple-double. I mean, it would be a smaller triple-double, but, you know, he can.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's on the best record, you know. He got the best team, most talent. He's a Warrior, which is – I hate Draymond so much, but yeah. I have to put him.
This time of year and, like, the NBA Finals time of year are the worst time to be a Draymond Green hater because there's just not much you can really say. You're like, he's good at basketball, but like, watch him play, like he just sucks, and like that's the only debate. But I get that, it makes sense, but I don't know. And then one quick question I want to throw at you, because we were in consensus on this. This is kind of a big topic at the moment when talking about the All-Star reserves. Is the Miami Heat are the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference? And no one seems to be awarding them an All-Star bid for any of their players. Where do you stand on that? I mean, I guess Hassan Whiteside would be the best choice. Maybe Goran Dragic. But do either of those guys deserve it?
See, this is actually one of the internal debates I had. So Drummond was the second wild card that I picked. I took a lot of people into consideration. And I didn't consider Whiteside because he has missed time. And I still think that he has a few holes in his game that he needs to work on. So the other guy was Goran Dragic. He does have a pretty much all-around game. I really thought about it, but at the end of the day, like, I really had to give it up to Drummond. You know, the dude has improved his shooting a lot, and you know, when you average 14 and 15, that's pretty crazy. So I had to give it to Drummond, but Dragic was in my mind. So
yeah, and it's kind of a little bit like the Draymond argument. Like, his stats aren't good enough, but, like, Draymond is on the Warriors, number one. The Heat are number four, and Goran Dragic is putting up, like, 16 points, 5 assists. Those aren't really all-star numbers. They're borderline at best. But he didn't make it when he was putting up 20 and 7 in Phoenix, so I don't know. Tough to leave a four-seed team with no all-stars, but I think that's the way the chips have to fall.
Yeah, and then you look at, like, a team like the Pelicans who have two starters, and they're, like, the seventh seed right now.
Yeah, but they deserve it. Those are all-star numbers.
No, yeah, they definitely deserve it. But, you know, when you're talking about record, it's kind of weird just because the Pelicans, like, they have these two phenomenal all-stars, but they can't, like, be higher than seven.
Yeah.
It just shows you how valuable a wing or a point guard is in the league right now.
True. All right, and also the Thunder, obviously it makes sense for them only to get Russell Westbrook, but going into the year, people had to have been thinking they get more than that, you know, at least Paul George, maybe even Melo.
Yeah.
So obviously that didn't pan out quite how they thought it would, but they are right in the ship, and they've been playing some good ball of lately. So you want to run through just real quick our final teams and who we have for the All-Star game?
Sure. So I'm Team LeBron. My starters are Kyrie Irving, James Harden, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid. Stuck pretty loyal to the Eastern Conference there. My reserves are Russell Westbrook, Kevin Love, Jimmy Butler, LaMarcus Aldridge, Victor Oladipo, and I close it out with the big men, Horford and Drummond.
All right, cool. And over on Team Steph, obviously we have Steph Curry starting, and then alongside him, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMar DeRozan, and DeMarcus Cousins. For the reserves coming off the bench, we have Kristaps Porzingis, Bradley Beal, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Karl Anthony Towns, Kyle Lowry, and Klay Thompson. So that's kind of the couchside all-star breakdown. That's what we think we'll be in. They'll be announced next Tuesday. The reserves will be announced. And then next Thursday is when the finalization of the teams will be announced.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all we got for the show today. Couchside Sports, here where we give you our perspectives on sports from the comforts of our couches.
As it should be.
And we got a quick announcement to make, kind of a big announcement actually, before we sign off here. Obviously, you guys have noticed Burke is coming through on the telephone lines. He was previously in studio for the majority of the earlier episodes. And we've made the decision that we both got a lot going on. And we're gonna put a pause on Couchside until he can get back up here near UConn in the Connecticut area to get in studio.
Yeah. We made an executive decision. WHUS need to upgrade their technology. Because, the phone, it works, but, we realize that it's not the greatest quality sound. We're both doing our thing, working, stuff like that. So we decided to do a few more episodes. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. We're not going to leave you guys hanging with that.
Yep.
We're going to end with the Super Bowl being our big thing. And then hopefully, maybe come May when I come home and I'm done with school and I'm back in Connecticut, I can get back in the studio and we can start giving you some of that good quality couch side,
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Obviously, the sound quality is not the best over the phone. And then also, we just don't got that, in-house chemistry going down. It's a little awkward, but we still have fun with it. But we're gonna hold off and we'll recalculate. So like Mike said, we'll do two more episodes, go through the Super Bowl, and then hopefully we'll see you guys in the summer.
Yeah, thank you for being loyal fans. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. You're the reason why we do it.
True.
We love sports, but we love you guys.
Yes, absolutely. Very heartfelt message from Burke there.
Hey,
all right,
I'm gonna cry, man.
So we'll sign off here. This is your host Kyle French, as always, in the UConn studio.
And Michael Burke in Queens.
And we'll catch you guys next week. And we'll give our reactions to the conference games and our predictions for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully it's a fun weekend and we get some good action. And we'll see you guys on the other side.
See you guys.